What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did just drop a new lyric video for my single, Hard Work, which you could check out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or on my official website, katietrop.net. So let's get into basketball. I mean, it's been just a fantastic week of basketball, at least in my opinion. I mean, we've got one team with an insane turnaround and just playing fantastic this year. But let's start off with a team that's actually starting to make strides and looking like they're headed for championship level play here is the Denver Nuggets. They took out the Indiana Pacers 125-116, but if you haven't heard, Nikola Jokic is just having a fantastic year as well. And he actually did something he has never done in his entire career, which was actually quite shocking because he does so much. It feels like he hasn't, you know, he's accomplished everything. Well, he had a career high 19 assists and 18 points and 9 rebounds. So he missed a triple double mark. He only was able to go with a double double, but that was a career number in assists for him. And then Aaron Gordon, he dropped 25 points as well. So he's really starting to get going. You know, he was injured to start the season, but it kind of looks like he's getting more healthy as the season wears on, and he is taking off. This Denver Nuggets team looks really damn good, but Nikola Jokic is where it starts, and he had a career 19 assists against the Indiana Pacers on Monday night. Then also on Monday night, the team that I'm talking about, man, the team that has taken off, that has had such an extreme turnaround, like, you know, it's not shocking that they were able to be better than they were last year, since they were literally the worst team in basketball history, basically, and that is the Detroit Pistons. They got a big win over the LA Clippers, 106-97, and that gave them their first 7-game winning streak since 2015. Cade Cunningham, this guy, if you have not heard the name Cade Cunningham, go pay attention to Cade Cunningham. This guy is fantastic for the Detroit Pistons. He scored 32 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists, and it feels like he's doing everything for this team, but there's a lot of pieces to this Detroit Pistons team that are getting a lot done. And they are looking more and more real as the season goes on. I kind of expected them to maybe fall back a little bit, like some teams like the Orlando Magic, for example. But Detroit is just getting better. They're beating good teams. And guess what? We're going to talk about them again as the week wears on with the updates that I have throughout the rest of the week of basketball. And then also on Monday night, the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in an overtime thriller, 131-128. And what was insane about this game is the Timberwolves were down by 25 points at one point, but then they just took off. McDaniels dropped 27 points. Anthony Edwards had 17 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists. And they played great against their division rivals and the best team in the league right now. And just a huge win and a great comeback for them. And we'll see how the rest of the season goes. But that's a great division battle between two teams. And then you throw in Denver, and that division is just stacked to the ceiling. Then on Tuesday, Luka got his revenge. It was the first time that faced off against the Dallas Mavericks since the trade. Back in December, and he got the win. The Lakers got the win, 107-99, but Luka had a triple-double, 19 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists, but LeBron James, he also had a great night with 27 points and 12 rebounds, and I don't know if you guys are watching LeBron this year, but he is off the fucking hook. We'll talk about last night's game, but I mean, he's just playing monster basketball right now, and we're only at the beginning of the second half of the season. We haven't even hit the playoff stride, and this guy's got a sore foot too. He's playing on a hurt foot, he's playing otherworldly for a 40-year-old. That's for damn sure. I mean, I'm all about Luka right now with the Lakers. I mean, he and LeBron they are looking great together. This whole Luka tossing the ball all the way down to LeBron on the opposite end of the court, y'all better get used to that shit. I mean, LeBron's always been about that. With many guys over the years, he's done it with Kyrie, he did it with Anthony Davis, they did it all the time, but his connection with Luka is something else, and I really think that the two of them are going to, they're gonna make some waves as long as LeBron is around. And then also on Tuesday night, the Memphis Grizzlies played a crazy game against the Phoenix Suns, went into overtime. Memphis got the win 151 to 148. Yes, 151 points from the Memphis Grizzlies and 148 points from the Phoenix Suns. Ja Morant had 29 points and eight assists. Jackson had 28 points as well. I mean, this was a crazy back and forth offensive affair. It's crazy because the Phoenix Suns, they could score a lot of points. They've got a lot of good players. I mean, Durant, Booker, those are two top-notch players. But they just cannot get a win. It feels like they are on the losing end of all of these games like this. But Memphis, they really, it was crazy to see that them, both of them score this many points. And it just was, it was back and forth and all the way till the very end. And Ja was able to hold them off with his defense as well. And so that's the difference with Memphis, is their defense is nothing to fuck with. I think that's actually the, a lot of people aren't really looking at them defensively. They look at them offensively and go, wow, they're scoring 151 points. And yeah, they gave up 148, but that's an overtime game against a high-scoring Phoenix Suns team. But this Memphis Grizzlies team plays great on defense, and Ja made the big play in overtime to get the win. Then on Wednesday, talking about the Detroit Pistons again, they got a huge, huge win. Not only was it a 20-point win, but it was over the Boston Celtics, 117 to 97. The Detroit Pistons are now currently on an 8-game winning streak, the first time they've done that since 2008. How crazy is that? Malik Beasley dropped 26 points. Cade Cunningham dropped 21 points. This Detroit Pistons team is looking really good. I don't think they're going to win a championship, of course, but I think they can make some noise in the playoffs. And they play their cards right in the offseason. I feel like there's going to be some dudes who are going to want to play with Cade Cunningham and are going to want to go and play with Detroit and this young core here. And so you might want to look out for them over the next couple of seasons, because I kind of feel like they are like one solid veteran away from becoming a legitimate squad. And then last night's games, we had a huge game from Steph Curry, doing Steph Curry things, dropping threes like it was no thing, 12 three-pointers to be exact. The Golden State Warriors beat the Orlando Magic 121 to 115, and Steph Curry dropped 56 points on the Orlando Magic. The dude could not be stopped. It was one of those nights where Steph Curry literally was dropping it from half fucking court. The guy just, when he is on, he is on, and that's what last night's game was. 12 three-pointers. He was so close to breaking Klay Thompson's three-point mark, because Klay Thompson has the record for the most three-pointers in a game. I believe it's 13 or 14. I know Curry was only a couple away from breaking it, but still, talk about LeBron being up there and still doing his thing. Steph Curry's getting up there and he's still doing his thing too. I mean, when he has a night like that, you just watch it and you just marvel at it and you're like, damn, who's going to stop him? Absolutely nobody could stop him last night, and he dropped 56 points. Then a great game between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Denver Nuggets. Milwaukee got the win, 121 to 112. Giannis had a double-double with 28 points and 19 rebounds. And Brooke Lopez, the old dude, had 22 points. He's actually had a very, very consistent season. He's actually been probably the most consistent player other than Giannis all season long. I mean, he's really been in there. Kyle Kuzma's actually fitting in quite nice with this Milwaukee Bucks team. So they're playing pretty solid basketball right now. I don't know how well I trust them, but that's a big win over the Denver Nuggets. And, of course, Nikola Jokic got his 27th triple-double of the season. He had 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists on the game last night in a loss. But, I mean, hey, you're not going to win them all. And Giannis was just having a monster game last night. It was just back and forth between he and Jokic. But like I said, Brooke Lopez, that's another old guy who's just been around the block and just a wily vet. And when you need him, there he is for 22 points and a big win over the Denver Nuggets. And then, as I mentioned before, we're going to talk about the Lakers game, too. The Lakers got a win over the Minnesota Timberwolves, 111 to 102. LeBron James, 33 points, 17 rebounds, and 6 assists. Luka had 21 points and 13 rebounds. And Austin Reaves added in another 23 points as well. These three guys, like I said, if they carry this team, this is going to be a really good squad. We're playing really solid on the defensive side of the ball as well. One of the hottest teams in the league right now, too. I still don't know if they're up there with the Oklahoma City Thunders and the Denver Nuggets yet, but they're right there. And like I keep saying, Luka and LeBron, they keep getting this chemistry going with each and every game. They're going to be very difficult to stop, especially with LeBron playing at this high of a level. Of course, barring any type of injury, he's just playing out of his mind this year. He always plays hard, but it's just like, it feels like the last month of basketball, it just kind of feels like he is playing championship basketball, and it shows every single night, at least so far it has. And add in Luka and his chemistry with him, and then Reaves, who is also having a career year. We're getting some good play from some role players as well. So, like I said, I don't know how they got to be a little bit more consistent for me to actually believe in them, but you're definitely going to have to watch out for this Lakers team with what they're doing this year. And then in some unfortunate news, if you're an NBA fan, it was announced this week that Greg Popovich, the coach for the San Antonio Spurs, he is not going to coach again this year. He had a stroke earlier in the year, so he hasn't even been on coaching at all since, I think, November, end of October. It's been the majority of the year. He has not been here. So not shocked at all to hear this news. I mean, you have a stroke. You got to get healthy. Unfortunately, I kind of feel like, and I felt this for the last couple of years, because you could just kind of tell the health issues have been wearing on him, at least in my opinion. I would not be shocked if he calls it a career after this year as well, which it sucks. But I mean, he's one of the greatest coaches ever, hands down, top five coach to ever coach in the NBA. I mean, he's done so many great things for the San Antonio Spurs organization and the NBA as a whole that it sucks to see that this could potentially be the way he goes out. But, that's just how it is. You don't get to choose how you retire sometimes. And unfortunately, that's the way it may look for Popovich right now. Now, he hasn't said anything about next year. I mean, of course, I'm sure he's going to evaluate that at some point once the season comes to a close. But I just personally would not be shocked if he calls it a career. All right, and speaking of careers, last year I went through my top 10 NFL GOATs of each decade, and so I decided I'm going to do that with the NBA now. So I'm going to start off with the 60s, because that's where I started with the NFL, even though the NBA dates back even further than that. But I'm just going to go ahead and start with the 60s. I probably could have started with the 50s, because there were quite a few fantastic players, but I just decided, you know what, I started with the 60s in the NFL, so I'm going to do it with basketball. So I'm going to do the top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s. Basically, I'm just ranking all of the greatest players of this era. And it was pretty difficult. It was cool to see, I learned about a couple of players I'd never really heard of, but of course knew of some that I definitely had heard of. And number one was very easy for me when I was looking over other people's lists and ways other people break down this decade. They kind of seem to have a big debate between number one and two, which I could see why they would have a debate. But once I get there, I'll break it down why I chose my number one. It was quite easy for me. It was actually a no-brainer, even though it felt like most other lists went another route. But anyways, let's get into my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s. Beginning with number 10, Willis Reed. He was a center for the New York Knicks from 1964 to 1974. So don't be shocked if you actually hear me discuss Willis Reed in the 1970s decade as well, because I feel like most of his success actually came in the 70s, but I feel like his dominance, you just could not overlook. He was the first overall pick for the New York Knicks in the 1964 draft. He was the rookie of the year in 1964. He was all NBA four times, And he also is an MVP in 1970. So like I said, it kind of feels like a lot of his success came in the 70s, the second half of his career. But yeah, he was the MVP in 1970, and he's also a two-time champion in 1970 and 1973. His career numbers are 12,183 points, 8,414 rebounds, 1,186 assists. And he is a legendary Knick. If you are ranking just New York Knicks legends, he's definitely probably a lot of people's number one, maybe two, but I kind of feel like you look at Willis Reed and he's just one of the greatest to ever do it. And he was definitely one of the greatest to do it in the 1960s. Then at number nine on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1960s, Nate Thurmond. He played power forward and center for both the San Francisco and Golden State Warriors. They were San Francisco, and then they switched over to Golden State. So he played for them his entire career from 1963 to 1974. By the way, some of these players, I'm not going to discuss if they played for other teams outside of the 60s. I'm not going to really discuss that time, especially if they only played like one or two seasons. I'm mostly talking about their dominating years in the 1960s decade, even though sometimes things overlap. But the thing about Nate Thurmond is he took over for Wilt Chamberlain. He had to follow Chamberlain his rookie year. He basically backed up for him, and so he played behind him. But after that, Chamberlain, I believe he went to the 76ers, and then so Nate Thurmond took over from there, and he had no issues. He was a five-time all defense. That just goes to show you, and that's what Wilt was. Wilt was both offense and defense, and amazing player overall. But Nate Thurmond was all defense. That's what he was all about. He was such a He was just so dominating in the paint. It was really difficult to get around him. His all time scoring or his all time records are, I'm sorry, his all time career numbers are 14,437 points, 14,464 rebounds. So he has more rebounds than he did points, but about the same. For points and rebounds, and then 2,575 assists. And like I said, taking over for Wilt Chamberlain, that's a huge task. Those are huge shoes to fill. Just, he's a legend. And hell, he's on this list. Spoiler alert. Way higher, but he's on this list. And so when you take over for him and you're able to dominate every single year you're in the league, like Thurmond did, you definitely got to make this list. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s, I had Jerry Lucas, power forward for the Cincinnati Royals from 1963 to 1969. He actually won a championship in 1973 with another team, but he is a five-time All-NBA. He was the Rookie of the Year in 1964. The thing about him is he was one of the biggest superstars basically to start in the league. He drew some of the biggest crowds, and so that's really what a lot of teams really wanted to sign him, because actually back in the 60s, the NBA was not as well established as it is now. Of course, he played for the Cincinnati Royals. Have you ever heard of the Cincinnati Royals NBA team? Of course you haven't, because a lot of teams had to fold, a lot of teams had to move. And so just kind of the way their contracts worked out and just how their careers worked out, Jerry Lucas probably actually could have gone on to have a much more prolific career had it been more business-like in today's game. But regardless, he was one of the biggest crowd drawers in NBA to start in the NBA. And everybody always wanted to see him play because he was just such a fun player to watch at the time. His career numbers are 14,053 points, 12,942 rebounds, and 2,732 assists. He was also just an all-around player, too. Not just offense, great defensively as well. And if you notice, he had a lot of rebounds, so that means he was always there in the paint and had no issues being in the paint. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1960s, I have Walt Bellamy. He played center from 1961 to 1965. With Chicago, then 1965 to 1969 with the New York Knicks, and then 1968 to 1970 with the Detroit Pistons. He technically, as far as like statistics go and just breakout stars, he has one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time. I believe it's one of the top three rookie seasons of all time. You could really argue any one of the three, but he has legit one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time, and it still to this day stands. From back in 1962, he did win Rookie of the Year that year, but he was just a fantastic player. He could score a lot of points, but also dominate the paint. He scored a career high or a career points of 20,941 points, 14,241 rebounds, and 2,544 assists, and just had an all-around dominating career from start to finish. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s, I have Bob Pettit. He was a power forward center for the Milwaukee/St. Louis Hawks from 1954 to 1965. He actually won a championship in 1958. I mean, had I done the 50s, I would definitely have, Bob Pettit probably would have been top five, maybe even number one, just depending on kind of how everything broke down. But he really dominated the 50s, but he also bled on over into the 60s as well. But he was a champion in 1958. He won the MVP in 1956 and 1959, and he is an 11-time All-NBA team throughout his career. So just one of the most consistent players, and was really in it all the way till the very end. His career numbers are 20,880 points, 12,849 rebounds, and 2,369 assists. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s, I have Elgin Baylor. He was a small forward, played for the Minnesota/Los Angeles Lakers from 1958 to 1971. Obviously, one of the most legendary Lakers of all time. 10-time all-team NBA. He was Rookie of the Year in 1959, and just legitimately one of the most consistent Lakers of all time. Him and Jerry West basically started the greatness of the Lakers. I mean, there are legends basically in every decade. It kind of feels like they always have Hall of Fame legendary players, and Elgin Baylor basically started that. Him and Jerry West, basically the beginning of greatness for the Lakers. His career numbers are 23,149 points, 11,463 rebounds, and 3,650 assists. He could score a lot of points, but he could also dominate the paint. He could also dominate defensively, and just one of the greatest all-around Lakers of all time. And all-around NBA players of all time. But just as a Lakers fan, Elgin Baylor, that's the dude. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1960s, I have Oscar Robertson, played point guard for the Cincinnati Royals from 1960 to 1970. He was an NBA champion in 1971. He was MVP in 1964. He is an 11-time All-NBA team, Rookie of the Year in 1961. But basically, Oscar Robertson is one of the first superstars the NBA ever had. Everybody wanted to see Oscar Robertson and what the hell he was doing. He was the hottest ticket at that time. I mean, he glided across the court and just knew where everybody was on his team. He just was a fantastic player. If you're an NBA fan, you didn't even need to see highlights of Oscar Robertson. You just always heard the name Oscar Robertson, and you just know one of the greatest to ever do it. His career numbers are 26,710 points, 7,804 rebounds, and 9,887 assists. Those assists right there, it's just crazy to watch him. I know a lot of people focus on his points, but just the way he commanded the court and just was able to just guide his team and do exactly what he wanted to on the court. It's honestly amazing that he only won one championship in his entire career. Now, he did play in a really difficult time because Bill Russell was the king of the championships of this era. So it was difficult for anybody else to win championships other than Bill Russell at this time. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s, Jerry West, point guard of the Los Angeles Lakers from 1960 to 1974. He is the only NBA Finals MVP in a loss. He won the Finals MVP in 1969 in a loss. He did finally win a championship in 1972, but it was basically just, like I said, dominated by Bill Russell and the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers. And Jerry West played Cinderella many, many, many times to the Boston Celtics in this rivalry. But he is a 12-time All-NBA, and he's the logo of the league. And there's a reason why he's the logo of the league. He's just one of the most talented players. Also a field general, just like Oscar Robertson, just the way he would pass the ball and direct the way everybody else on the court would play. He was a fantastic player. Career numbers, 25,192 points, 5,366 rebounds, and 6,238 assists. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1960s, I have Wilt Chamberlain. Played center with the Philadelphia-San Francisco Warriors from 1959 to 1965. Then played with the Philadelphia 76ers from 1965 to 1968. And then would round out his career with the Los Angeles Lakers in 1968 to 1973. Now, like I said, a lot of people battled back and forth on their top two of this decade between Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. I'll tell you why I put Bill Russell ahead of Chamberlain, because Chamberlain was obviously the more talented of the two. I mean, Chamberlain, one of the first superstars of the league. Everybody wanted to see him play. He was such a draw, and he was a great player offensively, defensively. But Bill Russell won the championships. That's why I put Bill Russell at number one. But let's talk about Wilt Chamberlain and the fantastic career he had. He's a two-time champion in 1967 and 1972. So he won one of those with Philadelphia, one of those with the Lakers. He was the finals MVP of 1972, and he is a four-time MVP in 1960, 1966, 1967, and 1968. He won the MVP 3 years in a row. He was dominating as hell. 10-time All-NBA, Rookie of the Year in 1960. He is also the only player ever to score 100 points in a game versus the New York Knicks in 1962. So like I said, he's just, if you're going to start a team, of course you're going to start the team with Wilt Chamberlain, because he was more talented than Bill Russell, but Bill Russell was fantastic as well. Wilt's career numbers, 31,419 points, 23,924 rebounds, and 4,643 assists. And Chamberlain, just one of the greatest to ever do it. But to me, number one, Bill Russell on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1960s. He's played center with the Boston Celtics from 1956 to 1969. He's an 11-time champion. I'm sorry, that says it all. I know people like to act like how many championships in basketball doesn't matter, but it does. And when you have 11 of them, he's won championships the majority of his career. Not just gone to championships the majority of his career. He's won championships the majority of his career. And two of those championships he won as a player coach. He won championships in 57 and then won championships consecutively from 1959 to 1966, and then in 1968, and then in 1969 to round out his career winning. He is a five-time MVP. He won MVP in 1958, 1961, 1962, 1963, and 1965. He's 11-time All-NBA, and like I said, he was a player coach. He did it all. His career numbers, 14,522 points, 21,620 rebounds, and 4,100 assists. To me, Bill Russell is the greatest to ever do it. Like I said, love Wilt Chamberlain. Definitely think he's more talented of the two, but Bill Russell, don't overlook him either. Don't act like his 11 championships are because everybody around him or his coach. No, he is one of the greatest to ever do it. He is a legend for a reason. He has 11 championships. You don't fluke into 11 championships, especially when I just named off 10 great players who easily could have won championships, but they didn't because the Boston Celtics kept winning them. So once again, my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1960s, number 10, Willis Reed, number 9, Nate Thurman, number 8, Jerry Lucas, number 7, Walt Bellamy, number 6, Bob Pettit, number 5, Elgin Baylor, number 4, Oscar Robertson, number 3, Jerry West, number 2, Wilt Chamberlain, and number 1, Bill Russell. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.